In the first major section of Acts, as Luke introduces his book, Jesus advises the apostles that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Jesus then instructs them to stay in Jerusalem until they have received power as the result of the Holy Spirit's coming on them, after which they will be witnesses unto him, beginning at Jerusalem and eventually to the ends of the earth. Jesus then ascends to heaven, and two angels advise the apostles that he will eventually come again as they had seen him going into heaven. While waiting for the promised Messiah, or Holy Spirit, excuse me, while waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, the assembled disciples prayed and eventually selected Matthias to replace Judas Iscariot as the 12th apostle. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on the believers and they spoke with different languages to people from all over the Roman world about the wonderful works of God. Peter then addressed the multitude, and 3,000 people were saved, baptized, and added unto them. In the days which followed, the church continued to grow as more and more people were saved. One day, and we don't know how long afterward, Peter and John went to the temple, and a lame man was healed. Peter, making the most of the opportunity, urged the Israelites to repent and be converted that their sins might be blotted out. The events of chapter 3 did not please the Jewish leaders. So they brought Peter and John before the Sanhedrin and questioned them. After the Jewish leaders deliberated what action they should take against Peter and John, but in view of the fact that a miracle had been performed, they determined that they would put a stop to the effect of the gospel ministry by threatening the apostles not to continue speaking in the name of Jesus. Peter and John, however, did not agree to their demands. The Jewish leaders knew that they could do nothing further against Peter and John because the man who had been healed was a lifelong cripple who was more than 40 years of age. So they threatened Peter and John some more and released them. We read the text beginning in Acts 4:15, going through verse 22. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. In verse 15, the members of the Sanhedrin sent Peter, John, and the crippled man out of the council in order to try to figure out what to do with them. Of course, believing what they said did not occur to them as an option, okay? Would have been a whole lot simpler if they had. Now remember, there were only two men, Peter and John, and the crippled man, and they were in front of the council known as the Sanhedrin, which contained 70 people, 70 men. So they were a bit outnumbered, but not when God was on their side. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to verse 14. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council means when the rulers and elders commanded Peter and John and the healed cripple to go outside the meeting room of the Sanhedrin. When they had commanded is used in conjunction with conferred, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of conferred, and it's understood in the sense of after they commanded. Had commanded is simply ordered. Aside out of the council means that Peter, John, and the healed man had been inside where the Sanhedrin was meeting and were ordered to leave. This is apparently referring to the meeting room of the Sanhedrin rather than to the Sanhedrin as a group itself. To go suggests to go from or to depart from. Outside the council has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally outside the Sanhedrin meeting room to go. They conferred among themselves, where they is the rulers and elders of the Jews, as they conversed with one another, suggesting that they were collectively pondering what to do with Peter and John. According to verse 16, the Jewish rulers and elders were deliberating about what they should do to Peter and John in spite of the fact that they recognized that a miracle had taken place. And they were saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." One option that they had, but obviously chose not to do, was to believe it. They deliberately rejected what was said to them. It indicates that they were not willing to accept Peter's message that Jesus had been raised from the dead and was their Messiah, and that it was through Jesus' name that this formerly crippled man had been healed. But they didn't have a better explanation either. Isn't it something when you talk to somebody about the Lord and all he's got to do is believe the gospel message to have his sins forgiven, but he chooses not to do something instead? It's a big mistake, by the way. Do you suppose this was their last opportunity, the members of the Sanhedrin, to receive Christ as their personal Savior? Well, it could have been. They might have already previously had their last opportunity. We don't know. That's God's business, not ours. But they were not going to live beyond 70 AD when Rome, the Romans, would conquer Jerusalem. Saying is used in conjunction with conferred in verse 15, And its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of conferred. It's understood in the sense of while they were conferring or saying, or in the sense of and they were conferring or saying. And what they were saying is found in the rest of verse 16 and in all of verse 17. What shall we do to or with these men? Where we refers to these Jewish rulers and elders who were conferring with each other, and where these men refers to Peter and John. It pictures the Jewish leaders deliberating or pondering how they were going to put a stop to this teaching about Jesus being the Messiah and having risen or rising from the dead. It indicates that they were not about to receive Jesus as their Messiah and beg him to forgive their sins. As I've already said, for all we know, this may have been their last opportunity but to be saved, but they completely rejected it. Men is the generic term for human beings or persons, and of course it refers to Peter and John. For indeed is an emphatic expression that a notable miracle hath been done by them is functioning as the subject of a verb which is supplied. The verb is. A notable miracle is a known or remarkable sign. They recognized it as a miracle, but it didn't have the desired effect in their hearts. Hath been done is has been done or has been performed. And its tense indicates that its action has been completed in the past and that its result has continued. What does this mean? It means the crippled man was healed in the past and he remained healed on the next day. His healing didn't disappear in just a few hours. It wasn't a psychological thing. He was healed for the rest of his life, we would assume. By them is through them, and indicates that Peter and John were the intermediate agents through whom someone else had performed this miracle. However, they were not willing to admit that Jesus Christ was the direct agent who had actually healed this cripple. As indicated by the italics, is has been supplied by the translators to aid the understanding of the English reader. It's implied in the context. Manifest is visible, clear, plainly to be seen, open, plain, evident, or known to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, indicates the people who were aware of the healing of the crippled man. News such as this would not remain concealed. To all them that dwell in Jerusalem is to all the ones who are inhabiting Jerusalem. And continues Luke's thought. We are not able means we cannot. We are not able to deny it means we cannot deny it, where it has been supplied in reference to the miraculous healing of the man who had been crippled from birth. To deny it is to state that it is not true, to state that no miracle had taken place. Now, these Jewish leaders had a dilemma. Everyone knew that a lifelong cripple had been healed, and they could not deny it. Why not accept it? Why not believe? what Peter said. All they had to do to disprove what Peter had said was to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. How could they do that? By producing his dead body. That would put a stop to it. However, they could not do this, and they knew it. How did they know it? Well, do you remember Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15? The soldiers knew what had happened. They were guarding the tomb. Now, when they were going, meaning the ladies that had come to the tomb that Easter morning, behold, some of the watch, that's not part of what your timepiece is, all right. The watch is the guard. Those who were guarding the tomb to prevent the disciples from coming and stealing the body. Some of the watch, some of the guard came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. You see that? They knew what had happened. They didn't want to accept it. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, the chief priests and the elders got advice. They took counsel. They gave large money. Large money doesn't speak of the size of the bills they were given. It speaks of a great quantity of money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Have you ever had full knowledge of what was going on around you when you were asleep? I remember this past week having a dream and not knowing anything what was going on around me. We had some interesting discussions after my dream. I have no idea what was going on around me, but I knew that wasn't it, but I couldn't distinguish. If the disciples came at night, you know, while it was dark, and they stole him away, they broke in, stole him, and we slept. They were supposed to be guarding this tomb. They were deserving of being executed because they had not done their job. And if this comes to the governor's ears, if the governor learns about it, we will persuade him and secure you. How would they persuade the governor? Give him a big bribe. That's how you secure the governor. So they took the money, the soldiers took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So did the chief priests and elders know? Yes, they did. Did they accept it? Oh, no. If they had accepted it, they would have to admit that they had been wrong all along. And they weren't about to do that. In verse 17, the Jewish rulers and elders reach a conclusion regarding what they should do to Peter and John in spite of the fact that they recognized that a miracle had taken place. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. It further indicates that they, the chief priests and elders, were not willing to accept Peter's message that Jesus had been raised from the dead, that he was their Messiah, and that it was through his name, which means through him, that this crippled man had been healed. But introduces a statement in strong contrast to their recognition that a notable work, miracle, had been performed through Peter and John, that it spread no further among the people, is used in conjunction with threaten. What would the truth spreading among the people do to their reputations? It'd prove them to be the liars they were. Of course, anybody that was around would have known that anyway, except that Satan had blinded their minds. That is understood in the sense of in order that, or for the purpose that. It might also show intended result and be understood in the sense of so that, or with the result that. It refers to Peter's message that Jesus is the Messiah following the healing of the man born crippled. That it spread no further, that Jesus being the Messiah not be distributed any farther, any more, in greater measure or to a greater extent among the people. They didn't want the people to know the truth. Let us straightly threaten them. Is literally, with a threat, let us threaten them. Now, this is just a Hebraism, which is understood as intensifying their threatening of Peter and John. And it's understood in the sense of let us certainly or severely threaten them. What good would that do? It isn't going to do any good. Peter and John are not going to be intimidated. That they speak henceforth to no man in this name speaks of purpose or intended result. That they speak is in order that, for the purpose that, so that, or with the result that they be speaking henceforth is no longer or not from now on to no man, to no one of men, which would convey the same meaning as to nobody or to no one. In this name means in the name of Jesus. They thought they could intimidate Peter and John into keeping quiet about Jesus. But how wrong they were. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And continues the narrative indicating the decision of the Jewish rulers and elders. They called them means that the Jewish rulers and elders called Peter and John, and it's used in conjunction with commanded, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of commanded. They summoned them, and then they commanded them. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to commanded. It may instead be understood in the sense of after calling them, after summoning them, after they called them in, or after they summoned them. They commanded them, where them is Peter and John, is they, meaning the chief priests and elders, gave orders to them, directed them, or instructed them. And what did they direct them? Not to speak at all. Not to be speaking, not to be uttering or proclaiming at all, nor teach, is nor to be teaching in the name of Jesus, indicates in connection with the name of Jesus or on the basis of the authorization of Jesus. Of course, if this command were followed, it would silence their witnessing regarding the salvation Jesus Christ had provided. Verses 19 through 20 record Peter and John's response to their being ordered not to speak, but to be speaking or to be teaching in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But introduces this statement in mild contrast to verse 18. The use of both Peter and John indicates that they both had the same response. Answered is used in conjunction with said. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to said. Said introduces their, meaning Peter and John's, response unto them, meaning to the Jewish rulers and elders. Their response begins with a conditional statement. The structure of the condition indicates that, for sake of discussion, it is assumed to be true. In the eyes of the Jewish rulers and elders, it was assumed to be true, but it was not true in the eyes of God or of Peter and John. The condition is whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God. And its conclusion is, judge ye. Whether is the word ordinarily translated if. And it's understood here in the sense of assuming that. It is right, or it be right, is it is right. Where right has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, if right, it is. The content of it is to hearken unto you more than unto God. In the sight of God, where God is God the Father, is used of a value judgment in the sense of in the opinion or judgment of God, in God's judgment or in God's opinion. To hearken unto you more than unto God, where you is plural, refers to the Jewish elders and rulers, and it functions in the Greek text as the subject of is. To hearken is the word ordinarily translated to hear, but in this context it's understood in the sense of to be hearkening, to be listening to, or to be heeding. Its tense indicates ongoing action in present time. To hearken unto you, where you has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, you, to be heeding. More than is rather than, and it's understood in the sense of instead of. And God, of course, is God the Father. In the Greek text, the appears before God in both usages of God in this verse in order to particularize him as God the Father, the God of the Bible, the God of all creation, the only God who is. Judge ye. Where ye, of course, is you plural. And it refers to the Jewish rulers and elders is simply, you decide. You decide if it's right to listen to obey what you're saying rather than to obey what God is saying. Well, it didn't take rocket science to figure out that, did it? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 20 concludes Peter and John's response to their being ordered not to be speaking or teaching in the name of Jesus. For is used to express a cause or reason they are not going to obey the directive of the Jewish rulers and elders. We, which refers to Peter and John, is emphatic. We cannot but speak, is we are not able not to speak. We are not able not to be speaking, which means effectively we must speak or we must be speaking. What must we be speaking? The things which we have seen and heard, which is what things we saw and heard. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. We saw these things and heard them in the past, and they remain having been seen and heard. It's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, for we are not able, what we saw and heard, not to speak, not to be speaking, not to continue speaking, or not to keep on speaking. You know, the Bible teaches that we are to be submissive to every human authority. But what if our human authority directs us to disobey God? Then we are to obey the higher authority, which is God. Sometimes people are ordered to do things which are going to put them in disobedience to God. They are not to do those things. We owe it to God to obey what He has said. What if it costs you your life? Going to heaven for a Christian isn't just that bad, you know. Think about it. You're going to scare me with heaven? That's what one famous preacher said one time. Are you going to frighten me with heaven? How can I be afraid of going to heaven? Oh, I might not like the method you use, but I won't mind the end result. Be careful. Don't disobey God so that you can obey somebody who is not wanting you to obey God. Would a Christian man ever demand that his wife disobey God? If he's really saved, I'm guessing that he would not knowingly do that. Okay, he might make a mistake and say something that he wasn't aware of. Would a Christian parent demand that their children disobey God? If they do, are they really saved? Be careful. Don't get into those kind of things and think that you can get around this. We are to obey God rather than man. Verse 21 goes on. According to verse 21, Peter and John were released because the Jewish rulers and elders were unable to figure out what else they might do to them because of the people. Oh, they were intimidated by the crowd. Glorifying God for the healing of the crippled man. The people liked the crippled man having been healed. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. This is not to be understood as indicating that they did not desire to punish them further. They wanted to, but they knew they couldn't get by with it. So is the translation of a word ordinarily translated and butter now in the Greek text. When they had further threatened them, as literally they having threatened them further. It's been translated as indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of let go. It's understood in the sense of after they threatened them further. Now, it may instead be understood as indicating a fact in addition to let go, and be understood in the sense of they threatened them further. They let them go. Where they refers to the Jewish rulers and elders, and them refers to Peter and John, is they released them. They sent them away, or they dismissed them. Finding is used in conjunction with let go, and it's understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as they found. And what they found was nothing how they might punish them. Where they refers to the Jewish rulers and elders, where them refers to Peter and John, and where nothing has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally nothing, finding how they might punish them because of the people is on account of the people. For is the word ordinarily translated because, and it's understood in that sense in this verse, because all men glorified God where the tense of glorified indicates continuing action in past time, where men has been supplied by the translators and God is God the Father. It is all we're glorifying God. This must have been really difficult for these religious leaders, that the people were glorifying God and they wanted to get rid of the whole mess. All refers to the people who knew about the healing of the crippled man. For that which is done is over the thing which had happened. The tense of was done indicates that its action occurred before the action of glorified. Of course it did. This happened. As a result, the people were glorifying God. And then verse 22 indicates the age of the crippled man at the time he was healed. Well, some of you are close to 40 in age. Some of us have passed 40. Some of us have passed 40 more than once, all right? I don't know of anybody that's pushing the third time, but listen, 40 years is a long time for somebody to have to be carried everywhere he went because he was born crippled. This wasn't normal, that he could now jump up and down, leap, run, walk, whatever he wanted to do. Verse 22 indicates the age of the crippled man at the time he was healed, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Four is used as providing the cause for which the people were glorifying God in verse 21. The man refers to the healed cripple. It's a generic term for human being or person. He happened to be a man. Was is descriptive of something which was true in the past. Above is more than. Well, I'm above 40 years old. So are some of you. Above. How much above? Well, quite a bit above, right? 40 used to seem really old. 40 doesn't look so old anymore, does it? 40 years old. How much above 40 was he? We don't know. He probably didn't carry his birth certificate around with him, did he? Perhaps he didn't even know how old he was. I keep being reminded of how old I am, you know. So do you. 40 years old. Where years has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text addresses the question of age. But how much older was he than 40 years? We're not told that, are we? It's not stated. On whom, refers to the healed cripple, this miracle of healing was showed, is this miracle of healing had happened or had been performed. What can we learn from this? Well, we can learn a bunch of things, I'm sure, but here's something that occurs to me. We need to stay right with God and keep on living for Him, regardless of where you are in life or where this may take you in life or what circumstances it may bring into your life. Remember, Peter and John merely went to the temple at the hour of prayer, I'm guessing, expecting to pray. And God used them to heal this man, this crippled man. He used them to proclaim the gospel to many who had gathered and eventually to witness to the entire Sanhedrin. Who knows what doors God will open for you this week as you live for the Lord? Well, I don't know, but you take advantage of them, and we'll try to do the same, won't we? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying this portion of your word. Thank you that you used Peter and John in the healing of this man and to testify to the Sanhedrin the things of God. I pray that you will bless our dear congregation. Be with those that are out due to illness today. Meet their needs. In Jesus' name, amen.